Good morning. Thank all of you for making the effort to come so that we may worship corporately. We have that opportunity to do that. Announcements for the week. Reminders, we have information on the table here and upstairs in the literature rack for you to use. There's the little videos and the postcards and things for you to have to use. We have a reminder from Phyllis that there are some Christmas books on the library table in the back of the sanctuary there. Some of them are mine, but you're welcome to check them out. Also, there are some Christmas children's books. So hope you find a little time to read some Christmas at this Christmas time. So that's from Phyllis. Those are available for us. Tomorrow, there will be a memorial service for Lois Licky in Fort Collins at Bolander Funeral Home at noon. This evening, those people who would like to be in the choir will be meeting at 5:30 to practice two or three or four songs. It says two, but we love Kathy. There'll be four. And so come participate with that. And if you're not good at reading music, we'll sit you down next to somebody who can. And it works real well. Just follow along. I can read music, I just can't. I have no pitch, so I got to sit next to Dwayne. But it works. So, and so that is this evening. Also this evening, we have a special congregational meeting at 6:30, so we'll have a time of prayer and we'll discuss our item of business. And so you're all welcome to come to that. And the, of course, just the church members get to vote on that. But we're having, in this time of transition we have, if you would like to become a member of the church, let one of the elders or Pastor Bruce know and we'll get you set up with becoming a member. So I'm going to open with reading Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former times he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Thank you. Thank you.
Scripture reading today is from Isaiah 60, 1 through 3, and it's entitled, The Future Glory of Israel. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall overcome over, for the darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising.
Well, do you guys have any Christmas lights at your house? What you call Christmas lights? Have you put them up yet? Putting them up on your Christmas Oh, you never take it down. Okay. Well, that's okay. Yeah. Why take it down? You just have to put it up again, right?
Yeah.
You know, I used to want to put my Christmas lights up in New York in the summer so I didn't have to get out there in the cold and just leave them up, right? I mean, why take them down? So, you know, what do you know about light? What do you know about light? Yeah, it makes it, and we talked about that before, right? You open the closet door and the dark doesn't come out, does it? The light goes in. And what else? You raise your hand. What he was going to say, okay. Your brother beat you to it, right? All right, what else?
Jesus is the light.
What else?
Light is like super fast.
It's really fast. How fast is it? Good answer. But it's really, really fast. Actually, they have made it's like really fast. You can look it up on the whatever tonight, this afternoon. What else?
Light only travels straight.
Travels straight. Okay. Well, let me show you some different kinds of light here. This, if it works, that's why I brought the backup. This is what we call white light, right? I don't want to shine it in your eyes, but you can see that it's white light, and you look up at these fixtures up here, and they're white light, right? Now, how many colors are there in white light? Anybody know?
A lot.
That's a good answer. Actually, all of them. We would say all of them are in white light, right? All of them. Have any of you ever seen, I bet you have, I mean, to me this is like a new thing, but to you, I mean, it's been around all your life. But I got this neat little thing here, and look what it does. Yeah, isn't that cool? Now, I can take that little thing off the top of it, and then we just get one light, see? And I can move that around.
That's pretty good light.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a cat light.
Yeah, it's for cats. Yeah, I tried it with my dog, and she's like, I'm not that stupid. Yeah. You know? But the thing about laser light is what? What's it doing? That's a laser, right? And you've seen those, sometimes they're red, and you can get them blue, and you can get them green. And if you put all those colors together, you get white light, right? And I'm not a scientist, really. I just kind of read a few things. But when you got just green light, what's happening is all the light is just filtering out to one part of what we call white light, right? And if it's red or blue, it's the same thing. It's just, and it's getting it in the right cycle and sequence and all this stuff. Again, you look it up this afternoon when you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs and you want something to do, you can look it up. But what I think is really interesting is when you think about God, how many things can you know about God?
One or two.
What were you going to say? Just a few, right? And if you were trying to understand everything about God, it's like white light. There's so much that we can't understand. Someone has said it's like if you were to try to pour the ocean into a glass. It's impossible. It's beyond us. But God, through the prophets and through the apostles, and of course, in these latter days, through Jesus, he's revealed some aspects of who he is. We can't take it all in. And even Jesus coming in the flesh didn't tell us everything. He said some things only the Father knows. Some things only you'll find out later. But he tells us the things we need to know. And it's like the green light. He filters out some stuff so that we can understand. And we can understand through Isaiah. We just read from Isaiah, right? And the prophets were giving some light. But I don't think even Isaiah knew completely what he was talking about. But he trusted God. And it says in the scripture that if we trust God, he counts it as righteousness, right? When we put our faith in him. And so you have some understanding, and we have more understanding than Isaiah because Jesus came, and he's the light of the world. Yeah, he's what?
He's our God.
He's our God. Amen. So that's the thing. And the thing about lights this time of year, we're being reminded to the lights we put on the Christmas tree and everything, we put on our house, that Jesus is the light of the world. And that means we understand more, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your care for us. We thank you that simple things are not really simple, but things like light that we take for granted are also explanations of who you are. Help us to understand a piece of who you are. And we thank you most of all that you sent your Son as the light of the world to be the Savior of the world, so that everyone who puts their faith in him can have eternal life. May we rejoice in that this day and days ahead, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go where you need to go. We want to lift up concerns in prayer today, of course. And, you know, we're sorrowful for our loss of our sister Lois. We're praying for you, Wayne, and your family. I don't know. It's hard to, you know, I'm thankful for my wife of 43 years. You guys were married 51 years, which is awesome. Hard to be without. But Jesus gives comfort. And so that's the piece that passes understanding. Lots of things that that can apply to, but I think especially the loss of a loved one, we realize that God is present with us. I know that Carol is concerned for her dad, who has suffered from Parkinson and some other challenges over the recent years, and he's not doing very well right now. She's trying to decide whether to go hop on a plane and go to Washington or not. We need to be praying for her in that regard. So I want to lift her up this morning. On a happier note, even though Kathy fell off a ladder and hurt her back and was in a lot of pain, she's still recovering, but I was told, was it yesterday or Friday, she went to the grocery and did okay there, but she still needs our prayers. She is improving, but her situation is similar to what Kathy Von Riesen dealt with just recently and is improving. Thankfully, you're able to play the organ now, so that's good. We're glad you're here. So we just want to lift these concerns, continue to lift up outreach and that sort of thing as well. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your care for us. We thank you that you watch over us from day to day. And you are aware of our needs before we bring them. You are constantly aware of everything about us. And as we can't comprehend that, we're thankful for the truth. And Father, we do want to lift up these various needs. I think of Wayne. We think of Wayne and the family here. Thank you that the family's been able to come and be supportive of him in his time of need and loss. We thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. But we also know, even with that hope, when a loved one goes away, we miss them so very much. And so I just pray again that you would be with Wayne through these days, and not only these, but in the months and even years ahead, as he's learning to live in a new situation and a new circumstance that he hasn't known for many years. Father, we want to pray for Carol, and we particularly pray that you'd give her wisdom as to what she needs to do. And we pray for her dad, Earl, and just pray that you'd be with him in the midst of the challenge that he's facing. We pray that he would look to you. We pray that you would open the eyes of his mind and his heart, his soul, that he would realize your sufficiency for all things in these days. And we obviously pray for his physical well-being also. We pray for Carol's family. We pray for them in the midst of this challenge as well, and that all of them would be learning to know your sufficiency and your love for them in the midst of this. They would call upon you. And we think of Kathy Taylor. We're saddened that she fell off the ladder a while back. We thank you that she's improving. We just trust that she will continue to improve. and get better. And we just pray that you will continue to give Gary ability to help her, encourage her as well. We thank you that you are well aware, again, of our needs. And we think of outreach that we had recently, and we just pray that in that you would use that to draw people to yourself. And other means, Father, may we be ready to share your word wherever we are, in whatever circumstances. May we share in word, may we share in the way we live. May we share in the way we treat others. May they see Jesus in us, that they may be drawn to him. And we'll give you the praise. And as we go to this time of looking at your word, may you teach us, and may we be ready to be not only hearers, but doers of your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking at the idea of light, and you think about lights at this time, and I got to thinking about this several years ago. We put up lights at Christmas time. I said, why in the world would we do that? You know, back in the day, before there was electric light, we had to put candles on our trees. My parents talked about how my grandmother wanted to put candles on her Christmas tree. And my aunt, who was from Germany, they always had candles on their Christmas tree. She, too, wanted to have candles on her Christmas. To me, that just doesn't seem like a good combination, right? You know? And thankfully, we have the electric lights now, which are not as dangerous as the flames that we used to put on the trees. We never did, but, I mean, it was done. How many heard of those days, right? You're aware of that. That's not a mystery. And yet, it's a mystery why people... Of course, my dad said they always had a bucket next to the tree, too, filled with water, so ready to extinguish anything that happened. Thankfully, it never did in their household. But we think about lights this time of year, obviously, because over and over again in Scripture, we hear about light, don't we? And we know that light talks about understanding. We come to understand something. We see the light. We are able to... What was once dark, now we understand, right? I was blind, but now I see. And the prophets, and even you going back all the way to Genesis, there were prophecies that were given to Adam and Eve by God himself talking about what would come, and that was some light, a little bit of light. It was like a pinprick of light compared to what gradually unfolded over the ages. But always, that light was pointing to the light, right? The prophets were a light. That what they spoke was light, but they weren't the light. They were a light that pointed to the light. And the last prophet that came before Jesus, his name was Micah, and also you don't think about him because he was a Baptist. This is an E-free church, so, you know. But you think about John the Baptist. He was the last in a line of all the Old Testament prophets. And Jesus said he's the greatest of the prophets because he pointed directly to Jesus, literally baptized him to fulfill all righteousness. And he was pointing. He says, I'm not the light, but I came to point out the light, to let people see the light so I could say, this is the guy. I didn't know, I didn't completely understand, he said, that God made it manifest to me so that I could make it manifest to Israel and to all of us, this light, who is Jesus. Amen? And that's what John was doing. We think about light. We think about understanding. We think about trying to comprehend. Now, the scripture says more than once that God dwells in darkness. And that seems weird to us, doesn't it? Because we think of God as light. But without God, there is no light. Without God, there is not darkness. But God comes into a place, there's light, right? But he dwells in darkness. But he also dwells in darkness because how many of you understand God completely? Anybody? I'm just being an example. I certainly don't. You know, we don't understand God, do we? We understand tiny little bits. And even when we think of that laser light, you know, that little bit that God has revealed to us, there's so much more about that little bit that we don't know that that even seems very minuscule, doesn't it? How do we really understand Jesus? God, man, eternal, but he came into this world as a baby, and then he went out of this world and he says, I'll come back. Do you get all that? Yes and no. You believe it, but understand it's another matter. And so for us in our mind, God, even the places where he's revealed himself, there's still a lot of things we don't get. One monk called it the cloud of unknowing, the darkness. We talk about, you know, they say in war, you know, there's a cloud of war. They have a plan, but then there's what really happens. And then there's a saying, there's life, and there's your plans, and then life happens, right? Life is what happens when you're making other plans, because you don't know what's really going to happen this afternoon, much less tomorrow or next week. And we understand far less about an infinite God. And so there's a sense of darkness, and yet God brings light so that we can understand what we need to know. The scripture says, call on me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you did not know or do not know. And he's revealing himself in little bits so we have what we need to know him to some degree. We don't even know ourselves. The light's intensity eliminates our gloom. That there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on him. We all live in a dark land apart from Christ. We all live in a dark land apart from understanding and being, having God reveal himself to us. And only as we come to know him do we understand. You know, I read a book, and I've mentioned this probably too many times, but just recently I read the book by Eric Metaxas called Is Atheism Dead? I challenge you to read that book. He talks about water. He talks about a bunch of things that if you look at them scientifically and the things we've been learning, we realize even about the material physical world, how much we don't know. And how awesome God is who made these things. And scientists are saying, you know, there really can't be any other explanation for things that exist. That is light. God allows us to discover some light through science. Original scientists weren't trying to disprove God. They were trying to show the reality of God. Scientific research comes within the understanding of the scripture and looking at the world and understanding what God made should point us back to God. My grandmother always said, oh, look at the birds. How can you look at the birds and not believe in God? She loved birds, you know? Now, I have to admit, you look at creatures that God has made. I don't understand my dog. I really don't. We talk with her. She talks back. She goes, Literally, she makes those noises. You want to go out? What's that mean? I don't know. Is she saying yes? No? We don't know. But God made that dog, and that dog has some comprehension. I can't make a dog. Can you make a dog? I could make a Lego dog, maybe, or I could stuff some kind of a dog out of something, but it wouldn't really be a dog. It'd just be something that looked kind of like a dog. You look at all those things, that's light of the amazing nature of God. I can't make a tree. I can't make a blade of grass. All these things shed light on God. But God wanted to be more specific. And there's a prophetic dual world. The prophets lived with some understanding, the moral light. They had some understanding more than others because God gave it to them. But it all pointed to one God. And the light of God helped them to see the moral condition of Israel and also to be able to see what God had in store, what God was doing, what he was planning piece by piece. And then finally, John the Baptist in John 1, 3 through 5, all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. Light brings guidance for the path. And Isaiah 42, verse 16, I will lead the blind by a way they do not know, and paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. We had the experience a number of years ago. I used to take my kids backpacking in the Adirondacks, and we'd go out for a few days. This particular time, we'd gone a very long distance. We were on our way back, and it was getting dark because it had taken 6 hours to get to our destination. We were on our six-hour trip back. And we had taken one extra mountain. We can get one more before we get back. The goal was to get to as many as you could, of course, like it is here. And we got a good way back, and it got dark. And oops, Dad forgot a flashlight. And my boys didn't have flashlights. Thankfully, some kind other campers had some of the pinch lights, and they loaned them to us. But before we had those, I was stumbling along. There were rocks everywhere on the trail. A lot of times the trails follow the creek bed and so forth, so it was hard to go along. But those little pinch lights made a difference so we could see where we're going. And God has made a path for us. We couldn't see where we were going apart from his word. We couldn't see where we were going apart from Christ. But God has made a path. How do I get to heaven? I don't know. Jesus said in John, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He says, I am the path. I am the way. And he opened the way for us. Light can be used to identify and eliminate impurity. You know, they can use lasers and so forth and there's something called a spectrometer that when you shine light through certain things and you see what comes out the other side, you're able to figure out what gases, and that's what they're able to do sometimes to figure out what's going on in other planets and figure out what gases, and even in our own atmosphere, and they shine light through. And the light of God helps us to see what we're like, helps us to see what our world is like, helps us to see our impurity, helps us to see his purity, helps us to realize that we need his purity to be able to enter into relationship with him, and he has provided that. We know that ultraviolet light can also irradiate germs, right? They put the instruments in certain things, and it cleans them. It sanitizes them. It's the ultraviolet light that's doing that. And God's word does that. God helps us to see the truth, and when we come to Christ, the blood of Christ, what Christ has done on the cross, his sacrifice, as we believe in that, we're made pure, right? He cleanses us. He opens the way so that we can come to God, holy, perfect God. God receives us because the covering that we have in Christ. He purifies us in the light of Christ. The light's purity brings salvation in Isaiah 49, and now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. This is a great mystery. It was talked about. Understanding the great mystery, Paul said, what's this great mystery? The great mystery is that the gospel wasn't only for the Jews. The gospel wasn't only for those of Israel. The gospel was for everyone. Christ's death was not just for Israel. It was for everyone, the world. He brought that salvation through one man, but he made it available to all. Praise the Lord. And that's more light that was given. The more light was salvation for the world. The light's integrity brings justice, brings us justice. Pay attention to me, Isaiah 51. Pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait for me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. His arm, we've talked about this before, Psalm 118 says, the right arm of the Lord does valiantly. You know, how many are right-handed in here? Most of you, any left-handed? A few, yeah. But that's we talk about the right arm because that's typically most people are right-handed, but it might be the left arm for those who are left-arm. But the right hand of the arm does valiantly. Where does Jesus sit in relation to God according to what the scripture says? At God's right hand. At God's right hand, I should have said. And so the right arm of the Lord does valiantly. How did he do valiantly? This is light. He did valiantly as he came into the world. He lived those 30 or so years. He went to the cross. He died, and then he rose again. The right arm of the Lord, Jesus Christ, does valiantly, Psalm 118, and also mentioned here. Many times you see the word arm. That is the arm of God in Jesus Christ. Light. Light. Understanding the power of God for our benefit. This is light of a different wavelength, if you will. It's more pieces of the puzzle, more pieces of the light. I wish I had like all three different lasers so I could go, you know, this is different. But it doesn't matter. You get the point. And there'd be so many that I don't even... And the light's security brings hope. Micah 7:7. For as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemies. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. We need hope. And the idea of expectancy is really key in this verse because it's that right, it's the idea of hope. Hope. I mean, we talk about being hopeless when we go through a tough time. We feel hopeless. And yet in Christ there is hope, even in those tough times, whatever they are. Because this life is not the end. This time is not all there is. And even now, looking beyond our lives, but even within this life, there's hope because we can have a relationship with God now. We can experience that relationship with God now because of the light that came into the world. He's opened the door so we can have fellowship with God now. We don't have to wait for heaven. We can have that deep fellowship with him right now. We need hope, and he gives it. We don't need to let barriers discourage us. The Lord is our source. And that source is not controlled by the enemy. Again, that's a picture of darkness doesn't fill the room. Light fills the room. God is all powerful. God is over all. He's sovereign. I remember, I don't know if I tell stories and I don't remember who I told them to, but if you hear it again, sorry. If it's the first time, then good. But a number of years ago, I was riding my bicycle. Oftentimes, my stories involve the bicycle because I'm on the bicycle, you know, a lot. And I was out riding, and there was a guy that I'd met. He was an ER doctor from the hospital there in Plattsburgh, New York, where we were living at the time. And we just happened to, you know, come to the same place at the same time. We were going the same way, so we started riding together. And we're talking, you know, and I didn't know a lot about him. I'd met him before. And we began sharing and talking, and this went on for several miles as we're riding along. And pretty soon a truck came up behind us. And he started honking. He was not happy. For his perspective, bicycles did not belong anywhere on any road in any country in the world. And he wanted us out of the way. And he's honking. We both cleared to one side or the other to get out of his way. But that wasn't enough. He kept honking at us and staying behind us. And so as I peeled to the right, the doctor I was riding with, he peeled to the right, I peeled to the left, and then the guy cut him off. And he didn't, actually it was the other way, because he peeled left, that's how he cut him off. And anyway, he cut him off, and so I looked, and where was the doctor? I didn't know where he was. I looked back, and I saw that he'd kind of cornered him. So I came around from the other side of the truck. And this guy was, the driver was drunk, okay? There was a whole bunch of bottles in the front seat. There was another guy in the truck with him. They'd both been drinking. And the driver was out, and he was just using a lot of language that I don't usually use. And he was being really rude to this guy. And I came up behind him, and he saw me, and he looked at me. And I don't know why, except the Lord, I looked at him in the face and I said, God bless you in the name of Jesus. And he looked at me and he didn't know what to say. And I said it again, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And he looked at me and says, don't start that with me. And I said it again. And he went and got in his truck and they went away. Now, I suppose I should have tried to stop him, but all I had was a bicycle, you know. He went away. But I had a real sense in that moment of the power of the name of Jesus and how Jesus, we underestimate the power of that name. My normal fleshly self would have said, what are you doing? I mean, can anybody identify with that? Get out of here. Leave us alone. But that's not what came out. And I give that credit to the Holy Spirit. He did that. Now, I didn't have a chance to speak to that gentleman again. But I prayed for him for a while after that. That somehow the Lord would get a hold of him. And he would understand the meaning of Jesus. And we can put confidence in God. The Lord is our source. The Lord is our power. It's not our power, it's His. And He dispenses even through you and me for His honor and glory. The prophets are distinguished from the light. John 1:8 says, He was not the light, but He came to testify about the light, which is what all the prophets did and have done. He's distinguished from it. And the light means God's presence. Arise, shine, for the light has come. Isaiah 60 was read earlier. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Has that come true? Isaiah said that centuries and centuries ago, has that come true? Have kings come to Jesus? Have nations come to Christ? It wasn't just Israel. The light shone, and we've seen through time, we have the advantage of being able to look back in history and see indeed these things have been fulfilled and are still being fulfilled. And the reality of God's prophecy, we're able to witness. It's recorded. And we realize that all these prophecies, there's no other way. These were recorded. There's evidence they were recorded before Christ came. There's writings that were found in caves in Qumran that show that Isaiah was written long before Christ came. And yet these verses so clearly point to Jesus. Only God could do that. And then people have come to Christ. The light of God's salvation and peace is present with us in Jesus. The darkness here is the same as we've been mentioning. It's a darkness of that separation from God, the darkness of not understanding the result of our fallen condition. John 1:9 says, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. We live within the light of his thought. We live within the light of his imminent presence. Light is about God. Light is about pointing out the nature and the significance of this season. God is a God who is gracious and provides salvation, and he provides you with light that you can come to Jesus and accept him and realize him as your Lord and Savior. I put a sign up in our window. You can only see it during the day. I don't have a light on it, but it says, Jesus is the reason for the season, you know? I don't care if we celebrate this season, you get your Christmas tree and all that stuff. I don't care. But realize what it's really all about, you know? And recognize that there's no greater thing than to know that God sent his Son into the world so that he would become, could become our Savior. Amen? Amen? And I know you rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. It's awesome. And how many Christmases have I seen? Well, this will be my, a lot. You know, I admit, when I was a kid, you know, you just couldn't wait to get to that day, right? But it wasn't about Christ. In all honesty, it was about the toys. And as I got older, I care less, and I still kind of like toys. But I care less and less about those things. I rejoice that God, in his graciousness and love, sent the light of his Son into the world. Why would he do that for me? Why would he do that for us? Because he loves us so much. He wants to have a relationship with you and me. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. God bless you in Jesus' name. Say hi to about 57 people before you leave, or all of them. God bless you.